show him. It won't be very long till Jesus shall be seen, and then the dead in Christ from their dead they shall rise to meet the Lord and King up yonder in the sky. It won't be very long, it won't be very long till Jesus shall appear. That day is growing near.
I sung this song a few weeks ago, and for some reason it was laying heavy on my heart this morning.
Hey, man.
I think there's someone out there that needs to hear it. So
bless the Lord.
That's what I'm going to sing.
Amen.
Bless the Lord.
Yes. Bless you, Rita.
say I'm not enough.
Bless you, Lord.
Hold on just a second. Sorry.
I do that.
Joaquin, so he was saying.
Thank you.
This is one of the Madison Song's favorites.
Microphone, will you? Thank you. Good job on the singing. I really appreciate Sister Rita's obedience there, singing that song. And she said somebody out there might need to hear this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Friday morning, I got a phone call from someone just like what she was singing that song about.
Yes.
Man went in the room, shut the door, and took a gun. Took his life. His son called me Friday morning asking me to remember them in prayer, which I was forward to do. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of hurting people out there.
Yeah,
a lot of hurting people out there. This man, saved man, 80 years old, you know, just about finished his course, and I'm not going to say anything about what he did. I just want to tell you there's just a lot of hurt out there.
Right.
And don't be like Peter said, I'll never deny you, though I all deny I'm ready to die with you. It don't always go like what you think.
Right.
Now, I'm going to slip this back here, and I'm going to ask Tammy to tell me when I'm too close. You can see on your side, can't you?
Mm-hmm.
When you can see this real clear, tell me to stop.
Okay,
this right here is what everybody needs.
Amen.
They need Jesus.
Amen.
See, He'll hold you up when you can't go, and He'll be there for you when everything's falling in on you and everything's falling apart.
Amen.
He said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, but You know, this society we're living in, they don't want nothing to do with this Jesus. They want to build a world apart from Him. They want to somehow deny He even exists. They call it now, you know, that B.C., A.D., they say that's not even relevant anymore. Well, it is to me, amen. Somebody said, how can you prove He lives? Hey, He lives in my heart. I know He lives because He lives in my heart.
That's right.
Listen, I lived an empty life for 34 years. I'm living a full life now. And the reason I am, Brother Mitchell, is because He took His rightful place upon the throne of my heart and made me whole. Amen.
Right. Amen.
Praise God. I appreciate the singing this morning. It was all good.
Amen.
I really like that song Brother Eric sung. I like the congregational singing. I liked it all.
Amen.
Speaking about singing, you know, you never know who your audience is. We're just a little church. We've got a lot of people here for a little church.
Amen.
I'm glad to see all the faces I'm looking at right now. We're not a big church by any means, but even as a little church, we're trying to lengthen our tent stakes, and I'm recording this for the internet for sermon audio, and Brother Ed and Sister Tammy, they're recording it for Facebook Marketplace. What we're trying to do is we're trying to get the Word of God out as far as we can. Brother Ed was talking about, he was surprised how far the services from this church get out. And I praise God for that statement, amen. But I got a phone call Saturday from a man in Ohio. His name is Brother Bob Malkin. And he wanted to send word down here that he was thankful for the congregational singing here. He likes the preaching too. But he said, who is that leading that congregational singing up there? I said, that's Brother Jerry Tibbs. I said, behind him, that's his wife. He went and got him one of them heavenly highway hymnals. Now, he's an Orthodox Jew. A saved one. He got saved because a woman on the bus said something to him about Jesus and he couldn't shake it. You know, when you see yourself in God's mirror, what you'll see when you look at yourself in God's mirror, if you're not saved, you'll see yourself lost and undone. And thanks to her being a mirror for God, he saw himself lost and undone, and he got saved, and he's been playing catch up. And he's been listening to us up there in Ohio, and he sent word down here that he loves that congregational singing. I tried to put a little bit on the service today. I haven't quite mastered this thing. I messed it up. I did get the last one on there. But the first two I messed it up. I thought I was putting it on pause and I hit play. But anyway, we're doing the best we can. Age being a factor, I'm just too old, too dumb to do much of anything. But that message we preached last Sunday on troubled hearts, that really got out there. A lot of people responded to that message. And I don't think it's the virus that's causing the pandemic. I think it's the fear that's causing the pandemic. Amen. And I'm glad Jesus told us not to let our heart be troubled.
Amen.
And you know that peace He gives, that comfort He gives, praise God for it. We're going to take our text this August the 1st, 2021, Lord's Day, Sunday morning. We're going to take our text out of Revelation chapter 5. I'll read the first 12 verses of Revelation chapter 5. John here doing the writing. John says in Revelation chapter 5 verse 1, and I saw in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, praise God, there's Man in heaven. Did y'all get that?
Right.
Yeah. And no man in heaven, no in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. One of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. This is our text verse. I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. Glory. Woo!
Amen.
Stood a lamb.
Amen.
As it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes. These are talking about the wounds that were inflicted upon him, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came, took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us. This is actually our text verse. I got mixed up. This is our text verse. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000s times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. How many is that, Brother Eric?
A bunch.
That's a bunch, ain't it? It's our last verse. Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. We'll stop our reading right there. I'm preaching today on the slain Lamb. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to stand today for the Word of God. Father, we thank you for these that are present here today.
Yes.
Lord, for the preaching, for the singing.
Yes.
Lord, thank you for each and every one of them. We pray for those that weren't able to be here, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, for reasons, Lord, that was one that I probably wouldn't have been here, Lord, if I'd have been looking for one.
Yes.
Help me, Lord, with my back. Oh, Lord, we're tendering our back. We just pray, God, Lord, for the strength of God.
Yes.
Lord, Paul said that your strength is made perfect in weakness. Mm-hmm. We're weak today, Father, in the physical, but we're strong today in the spirit. We thank you, Lord, for that strength. Ask your blessings upon our efforts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I'm preaching today on the slain Lamb. I threw my back out Saturday morning, reaching in the drawer to get a fork for my wife. I done made her the scrambled eggs and scrambled them this way and that way and this, all, every way you could think of, because she says I never scramble them enough. So I scrambled them every way they could be scrambled and cooked them and sliced her a big old thick slice of tomato and put it in wedges and salted it all, put the toast on top and reached in that drawer, Brother Eric, to get a fork, not one to scramble with. But one to eat it with, and when I reached there and got that fork, I pulled it out, and I felt that, I think the devil might not have been too far from me. He just got me real good while I was preoccupied. I didn't think it was that bad, but I limped all through yesterday and even this morning. But we feel a whole lot better right now. Amen. Somebody's evidently been praying. Thank you for it.
Yes, Lord.
But we're preaching today, and we've just got light affliction in light of the Lamb. We're preaching today on the slain Lamb. John saw this Lamb as it had been slain in verse number 6. And it had the markings of where it had been wounded. Those 7 eyes, 7 wounds in the body of this Lamb. They tore this Lamb into pieces, but they didn't slay the Lamb. This Lamb laid His life down, the Bible tells us in John chapter 10, verse 18. Jesus said, "No man takes my life." He said, "I lay it down." He said, "I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it back up again." He said, "This have I received of my Father." But Brother Donnie, they did try to kill Him.
Yeah.
They beat Him. The Bible says His vestige was marred more than any man.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of stuff going on today that shouldn't be going on. I mean, they're doing all kind of unthinkable things to people. Some guy beheaded some girl in public on the street. I think up there in Minnesota, I think that's where it was at. And somebody videotaped it, live streamed it on the internet. I didn't see it. I don't want to see it. I wish things like that never happened. But she made a bad choice when she chose him to be her boyfriend. And when they released him from prison, he went to her and she refused to be his girlfriend. And he just beheaded her right there in the public. The young girl lost her life. They probably won't do anything to him.
No.
I don't know if you've been watching anything or not, but you're getting more trouble doing right now than you will doing wrong.
Right.
Seem like you can get away with anything right now, including murder, but you better not mention that name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
But Jesus, His vestige was marred more than any man. No one has ever been through what Jesus went through.
Amen.
And He lived. Amen. In spite of all of that, if they could have killed Him, Brother Ed, they would have.
Right.
But Brother Jordan, they couldn't take His life. They wanted to. They would love to have got rid of Him.
Right.
Sounds simple, don't it?
Yeah.
But Brother Larry, they couldn't do nothing with this Jesus.
That's right.
You know what? If that wasn't enough, Brother Mitchell, the Bible said the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all.
Right.
He got what I deserve.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the Bible said, He was afflicted of God. We're going to try that more on that here in a minute. But He had God beating Him. He had God afflicting Him. He had man beating Him. He had man trying to kill Him. And here He is, unrecognizable. If you ever see a picture of Jesus on the cross, if it doesn't look like a piece of hamburger, that's not Jesus. I want you to know they beat Him till He didn't even look human, and nailed on the cross as they're mocking and making fun of Him. He says, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do."
Amen.
How true that is.
Right.
If we'd have known what we was doing, we wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. And yet, He had to be crucified. He came to this world to give His life for sinners, a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. John sees Him, and John walked with Jesus, and John knew Jesus. And John said, "I saw, as it were, a lamb as it had been slain," there in verse number 6.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like I said, Brother Bob, he's a Jew. He's an Orthodox Jew. The Jews, they don't like the New Testament. They burn them. I heard you Saturday morning. I listened to these preachers on there Saturday morning trying to get a little something in my tank, you know. I don't like running on empty. I don't like running lean neither. I like to have a full tank. And I'm listening to this guy. He comes on at 15 minutes after 6. And he's a Jew. And he came up on a bunch of Jews burning New Testaments, Sybil. And he reached in the fire and he got one of them out. They didn't like it. See, the Jews don't want the New Testament. They claim to be Old Testament saints, and they are. And it's going to take us just a minute, but we're going somewhere here. He got that New Testament out, and they warned him to put it back in the fire. He said, go get your rabbi. He said, as soon as he said that, he showed up. He said he must not have been very far away. And they got into kind of like a conversation, like, why are you holding that New Testament? We want to burn it. He said, you've never read the New Testament, have you? And he said, no. And he read him Hebrews chapter 11.
Amen.
And got his attention real quick.
Right. Uh-huh.
I see they never heard it.
Right.
But not only, and I'm preaching today, does the Old Testament tell us about Jesus being slain, but also the New Testament tells us about Jesus being slain. Now I'm going to try to bring them out, both out in this message today. God told Abraham to take his only begotten son. Now he already had one, Ishmael.
Right. Amen.
He's the father of the Muslim. My father, I'm trying to spit it out. Can't even spit it out here. Ishmael's the father of the Muslim, but I can't spit out what I'm trying to spit out. It's not Muslim, not what I'm on. But anyway, I don't want to say infidel, but anyway, Ishmael was not supposed to be. He was of the bondwoman, and Isaac was of the free. But anyway, God told Abraham to take Isaac, thine only son, there in Genesis chapter number 22, verse 1 and 2, and he said, offer him for a burnt sacrifice to me. Now that's an unreasonable request. But God was testing Abraham.
Right.
And also he was showing something here. See, God only had one begotten son.
Right.
His only begotten son. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Okay, Abraham only had one begotten son. He did have Ishmael through Hagar, Sarah's Egyptian handmaid. It wasn't supposed to be. That's why you got that war going over in the Middle East right now. A lot of things going on today. Wasn't supposed to be, but it happened anyway. I mean, God ain't never really had much to work with. This is good preaching. If you'll listen to me this morning, you ought to really tune your ears into what you're hearing this morning.
Amen.
God told Abraham, he said, go offer your only begotten son, Isaac.
Uh-huh.
Now, buddy, I want you to know Isaac was Abraham's love of all love. He loved that little boy.
Amen.
Now, at this time, he's probably about 33 years old. And they get together, they get all loaded up, and they head towards this place. And Isaac gets to looking around and he sees all of the fire and the wood. But he said, Father, where's the lamb? And Abraham said something prophetic. Phyllis, he said, God will provide. Woo! Oh
amen.
My.
Bless you, Lord.
God will provide himself
a
lamb.
That's right. Amen.
What a statement.
Amen.
I don't know that Abraham knew what he was saying, or if just in faith that he was expecting God to intervene.
That's right.
I mean, God had asked a hard thing, and Abraham staggered not, because the Bible tells us that he believed that God could even raise him from the dead.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
Carol, he had the kind of faith to know that he was going to get Isaac back one way or another. If he had to offer his only begotten son, he believed God could give him back to him alive. He was willing to do what God had asked him, but he didn't really understand it. I don't know. I mean, I can't really say what I don't know. But Abraham told his son Isaac, he said, God will provide himself a lamb for the sacrifice. Boy, what a statement. Now, you might want to notice this, that Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 56, he said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it. So Abraham saw something.
Amen.
He wasn't as blind as everybody thought he was. He might not have understood everything that he needed to understand, but I'll tell you what, he was on board with what God had asked him to do for two reasons. One is God had gave him this only begotten son. He was the promised son. You know that miracle birth of Jesus to a virgin is almost paralleled by the miracle birth of Sarah. It had ceased with her as becoming women to have a child. She wasn't physically able to have a child.
Amen.
That may be one reason she lied. Me have a son? It's impossible, God. But things that are impossible, men are possible to God. Next thing you know, she's got a son.
Amen.
Now this son's grown up, Eric. His father loves him.
Right.
Amen.
God asked him to go offer him on the mount as a burnt sacrifice to me. God may ask you to do some things that may be hard. He's asked me to do a couple. And I'm kind of like Abraham. I'm kind of complaining and complying too. But anyway, Abraham says, my son, God will provide himself a lamb in Genesis chapter 22, verse number 8. What a statement of faith and prophecy. And the Bible mentions about Abraham commenting on a place called Calvary in Genesis chapter 22, verses 13 through 14, when Abraham said, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. He's talking about Calvary. He's talking about God providing himself a lamb on a cross at a place called Calvary. And Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it. Amen.
Amen.
Man, I need to go to the eye doctor.
Amen.
I like to have that kind of sight. Amen. To be able to see what God's doing. That's we right. See somewhat of it. The Bible says we see in part and we know in part. Yeah. And the little part we do see and the little part we do know, we don't even act on it. But here Abraham is. He's in over his head. He's been called to offer up his son, his only begotten son Isaac, offer him up in a place for a burnt offering. And like I said, Abraham starts looking through the eyes of faith. And Abraham, through the eyes of faith, he saw Calvary. You can find the slain lamb in the Old Testament.
Right.
Exodus chapter 12. God told Israel, go get you a lamb. Put it up. A lamb without spot. A lamb without blemish. Put it up. Keep it. And he said, when the time comes, slay it. Take the blood of it. Put it on the doorpost of the house. A lamb for a house.
Amen.
God said, when I see the blood,
I'll pass over
that house.
Right.
Thank God for the blood. I'm glad I had the blood applied, Brother Donnie.
Amen. Thank you.
The Bible mentions about Christ, our Passover lamb, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I think it's verse 19. Let me look real quick. Old man getting old. Christ, our Passover lamb. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 was sacrificed for us. But God told Moses to go tell him a lamb for a house. And he said there better be blood on the door of that house, because God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over. You know, those that didn't have the blood on the door, the plague come in that house.
Right.
And the firstborn died. I don't want the plague in my house. I don't want the plague in your house.
No.
Thank God for the lamb. Amen.
Thank you. Yes, Lord.
Woo!
Amen.
Then I know the lamb Amen.
Amen.
He might have got slain, but he got up. Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
Tell old song. Christ Jesus lives today. He lives. He lives. How do you know he lives? He lives within my heart. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, the slain lamb. Amen. You find him there in Genesis chapter 22. You find him in Exodus chapter 12. You find him in Isaiah chapter 53.
Mm-hmm.
All that whole chapter is probably a better description of Calvary.
Amen.
Than the New Testament and all four Gospels combined.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, that Ethiopian eunuch there in Acts chapter number 8 was reading Isaiah chapter 53.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Of whom speaketh the prophet, of himself or some other?" And Philip began at the same scripture where he was reading and preached unto him Jesus. And an Ethiopian eunuch said, "Behold, here's water. What doeth hinder me from being baptized?" If you've got the right Bible, you got verse 37 of Acts chapter 8. If you don't have that verse in your Bible, burn it. Get you a real Bible. That verse said, "If thou believest, thou mayest."
Mm-hmm.
And Ethiopian eunuch said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." They stopped the chariot, Brother Mitchell. They went down and baptized. Philip baptized that Ethiopian eunuch. Insomuch that Ethiopian eunuch saw Philip no more. He done like old Brother Eddie. He went on his way rejoicing.
Yeah.
I mean, buddy, I'm rejoicing in my Savior every moment of the day since He gave me this heart of love. On and on we walk together in the hallelujah way since He gave me this heart of love.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, but there's a lot of rejoicing to being saved.
Amen.
Amen. Man, I kind of wish I could go through it again, Brother Eric.
Amen.
I wasn't good.
Amen.
Once is all you need.
Yeah. Right.
I got
Amen.
It fixed. Several.
Right.
Got it fixed. You know, I hated that my friend's father took his life. But I talked to the man and he saved me. You read Romans chapter 8, verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation of them in Christ Jesus." Then you read the last three verses and you'll realize nothing can separate you
right.
from the love of God right. shed abroad in our hearts yeah. through Jesus.
That's right.
I'm just telling you, we're more than conquerors through Him, a man that loved us
Amen.
And gave Himself for us. This slain lamb, verse 7 of Isaiah 53, said He's brought forth as a lamb for the slaughter. That blood is an offense to many people, insomuch that they've removed all the songs from their song books that have anything to do with the blood. They don't like power in the blood. They don't like "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." And they call it a slaughterhouse religion. And it's true. He's led like a lamb to the slaughter. The lamb was slain. The lamb was slaughtered for the sins of the whole world. He gave His life,
amen,
to be able to tell drunks like Eddie Wade, "Eddie, you're forgiven. Go in peace and sin no
more."
God's never condoned sin, but when I do admit, when I do commit a sin, you know what? He said if I'd confess it, He'd forgive
me. Amen. Amen.
That's all I got to do is say, "Lord, I messed up again. I'm sorry to sin."
Amen.
Boy, I'll tell you what, hallelujah.
Amen.
Not only does it love me, but praise God, it loves me when I come up and say, "I messed up again."
That's right. Amen.
I can come to Him 70 times, 7 minutes a day, and He said, "It's all right."
That's right.
Amen. Glory.
Amen.
He's led like a lamb to the slaughter. And I'll tell you what, buddy, without the blood of Jesus, we're still in our sins, guilty and condemned.
Right.
Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 says, "Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin." The sin's still there. Tamia put an illustration on the webpage, and I ain't got a thing against the illustration, but I put it on there how important it is that we don't use the water to do the cleansing, but that we use the blood. Because the Bible said the blood of His Son Jesus cleanses us from all sin. He's washed us with His own blood. Hey, He purchased the church with His own blood. I want you to know you can't take the blood out. If you want to be saved, it'll be through the blood. Amen.
Amen.
And that was a clean lamb. I don't know what they washed that thing in, that oxy, whatever. They got so many cleansers now, I don't care if you use bleach or some kind of newfangled cleansers. Nothing cleans better than the blood, amen. God's looking for the blood, amen. But there's three places there, and there's others. I mean, I just picked these out. Genesis 22, Exodus 12, Isaiah 53. There's three places in the Old Testament that you can see where Christ was crucified for our sins. But not only was the lamb slain in the Old Testament, the lamb was slain in the New Testament. Gospel of John, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 29, John wrote down, "Behold the Lamb of God." It takes away, that was John the Baptist said that. It was John that wrote it down, but John the Baptist one said it. John Baptist said in John 1, 29, "Behold the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world." John saw Him again, John 1, 36, "Behold the Lamb of God." He was pointed out by John Baptist. There's your lamb, boys. Then you go to Matthew chapter 27. You read that whole chapter, verses 1 through verse 50. You get a description of the lamb being slain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they didn't kill Him. They did crucify Him. If you read verse 50,
amen,
with a loud voice,
amen,
He gave up the ghost.
Yes, He did.
He laid His life down.
Right.
You see, He had to die.
Yeah.
He had to give His life a ransom for me so I could be forgiven, so I could go free.
Amen.
If He didn't take my place, buddy, I'm still in danger of judgment. I don't like judgment. I've been before a judge before, buddy.
Amen.
It ain't no fun being in a courtroom, the judge looking over his glasses, reading what you've done, looking up at you, saying, "What's your plea, buddy?"
Amen.
I just say, "I'm guilty." He said, "What's it going to cost you, boy?" I'm glad, praise God, simple, when the judge looks at me now,
amen,
he said, "You've done all of this. How do you plead?"
Yeah.
And I say, "Sir, I plead mercy." He said, "Good, because you've got mercy."
Amen.
You see,
right,
you can either have guilt or mercy. You can have judgment or mercy. I don't like pain. I don't like, I try to abstain from all pain. I went to the dentist one time. He said, "What's your biggest concern?" I said, "Pain." He shot me about five times with Novocaine. It was about 2 weeks before I could drink water. I didn't know I even had a mouth. I didn't know I had a lower lip, the shirt. And I tell you, buddy, he took care of that issue. He's my favorite dentist, too. And he done a real job on me because I ain't seen him about 20 years. I still haven't seen him about 20 years. God doesn't give up now, amen. But I tell you what, buddy, he done the job on that aspect of it. I never felt nothing. Matter of fact, I didn't know. I've never been put to sleep. I didn't know anything. He put enough Novocaine in there, buddy. Oh, my. I could have eat coals off the fire and not noticed. But you can read about this lamb being slain there in Matthew chapter 27. Paul told King Agrippa, this thing wasn't done in the corner. It ain't like you can dismiss Calvary. It's not like you can ignore that it never happened. He told King Agrippa,
right,
he said this thing wasn't done in the corner, Acts 26:26. Then Paul said, "Do you believe the prophets?" Verse 27, and the answer of him, King Agrippa, was, "Almost you persuaded me to be a Christian."
Mm-hmm.
Verse 28.
Right.
You see, almost might be okay with horseshoes.
Yeah.
That don't work when it comes to
it. No, it don't.
Salvation.
Right.
Paul said in the next verse, "I would to God that you were altogether as I am, not almost." By the way, that's the last mention of King Agrippa in the Bible.
Amen.
You reckon he ever finished up that "almost persuaded"? I think that's as far as he got. Can you imagine being that close to salvation? I mean, here Paul is, he's giving his testimony. Felix is over trembling. Mary called him, said, "Paul, you're mad. Much later, he'll make you mad." And Paul gives up on Felix, looks toward King Agrippa. He looks toward King Agrippa, and he said, "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets?"
Amen.
King Agrippa said, "Almost." Mm. Oh, we've no telling how many messages been preached on almost persuaded, but we still see it going on today. That's people right. That close from getting saved.
That's right.
Will miss heaven.
Right.
Mm-hmm. People that close from getting saved will end up in a place where the air conditioner don't work.
Right.
It's been hot
Amen.
This week.
Amen.
Our air conditioner went out, Sybil.
Oh.
I'm somewhat of a air conditioner repair man. My wife said, "Would you mind trying one more time?" And I went down there and put my soul in jeopardy and reached in there and found a water had been burning in two. Fixed it and put it back together and it started working. She said, "You're my hero,
baby."
Amen. She has been married 46 years. She told me I'm still her hero.
Amen.
Anything she don't have to spend a dime on, she calls me a hero, amen. But you know what? The air conditioner don't work down in that place. Matthew 25:41.
Amen.
Jesus talked about hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. You ain't got no business in hell.
Right.
I'll tell you what, if you get almost persuaded, right. If you turn down the grace of God and the gift of God, you may find yourself somewhere you don't need to be.
Right.
Jesus mentioned in John 14:2, "I go away to prepare a place for you. Heaven was made for us." God don't need heaven. He said, "I'm going away to prepare a place for you. It's called heaven. And I want you to know it's pretty good down here." I'm like old Brother Donnie. He said, "I like it pretty good down here. I do too, but it's far better there. I ain't been there yet, but when I get there, I'll say, 'Why'd you wait so long? Come get me.'" He said, "God, you wouldn't let go."
Amen.
I'm ready to let go.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm telling you, buddy, it's getting bad down here.
Yes,
there's a bunch down here that wants the world. I don't know if you know about globalists or not, but globalists, they want to save the planet, so they're willing to depopulate the world by 2/3%, and they're not including themselves, so that means all y'all got the crosshairs on you.
That's right, man.
But glory to God, I'm good as in heaven right now. I'm already seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And where He is where I'm going.
Amen.
He's already there. I'll be there soon enough. Amen.
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 Hallelujah. For a place called heaven. Hey, listen, King Agrippa, not another word spoke about him. That's bad. The lamb, last point here, the lamb was attacked at his birth, but it wasn't his time. King Herod tried to kill him in Matthew 2:16. Wasn't his time. His mother come to him about to no wine at the wedding. He said, "It's not my hour." His disciples asked him, he said, "It ain't my time yet." But when it came time, Casey, he said, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful." Even unto death. That fleshly aspect. Nobody wants to die. God knows that. Even Jesus. You know, He's battling this hour that He's got to drink this cup. He's battling this hour that He's got to lay that life down. That fleshly part of Him that wanted to live. And that spiritual aspect of Him that knew He had to die. He was attacked all through his short life. John 8:59, John 10:31, John 10:39. And when it came time for the lamb to die, the lamb told his disciples, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death." Matthew 26:38. There wasn't no other way.
Right.
It wasn't like he had another plan. It was in the plan of God. Before the foundation of the world, that Jesus would give His life a ransom.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
People like you and me, Brother Jordan, so that we could go to heaven. You see, there wasn't no bridge. I know people have been trying these little bottle rockets to go to the moon. A little small step of man, you know. But it's a long way to that third heaven. We don't have enough fuel down here. They talk about a fuel shortage. We don't have enough fuel down here, Bonnie. I couldn't make it. So we built a bridge. I may not go in rapture, I'd just soon go. I mean, I don't really want to have a funeral. Somebody lie about old Brother Eddie, say he's a pretty good guy. I'd just soon bypass all that, leave that like everybody else. That's when I go right. On the same boat and say, woo, praise God.
Amen.
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 Amen. That's right.
But if
that's
I do right. Have to go before the rapture, Sybil, Sharon, he built a bridge.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Old Brother Eddie can make it. Well, I'm going all the way.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm not going to heaven to visit. I'm going there to stay. Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Once I get there, I have to admit, I probably have a different opinion about heaven.
Amen.
I got a pretty good opinion about it right now, fellas. Streets are gold.
Amen.
Walls of jasper. Yeah. Everybody ever singing happy.
Yeah, boy.
No complaining. No
yeah.
No pain.
I'm telling you, did you hear what that girl said? No complaining.
Right.
That's right. Ain't nobody sad up there, Mitchell. Ain't nobody sad up there.
That's right.
Man, you know, Jesus transfigured himself on the Mount of Transfiguration. Them three disciples, Peter, James, and John, they said, oh, it's a good place to be.
Amen.
Girl, I want you to know heaven's a good place to be.
Yes, it is.
Now, they didn't get to stay on that mountain. I'm going to get to stay in heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's a good place
Amen.
To be.
Amen.
Right. Boy, you talking about angel wings. This precious saint, she sends out flowers from her garden. I thank God for that ministry. Oh,
yeah,
my.
Amen.
Oh, my.
I bless
you. Please keep that up.
Amen.
Shoo. A lot of need out there. A lot of hurt out there. But boy, just getting a card every now and then saying, I'm praying for you.
Amen.
Appreciate her. The slain lamb. You can't rewrite history. You can't take away what he done.
Right.
I'll tell you one thing you can do though. You can accept what he done.
Amen.
You can believe in what he done, and you can get you a home in heaven.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
And if you don't accept what he done, you know, I like to fill in the blanks. I can't, but I'd like to. But you can't take away from what he done, and you can't add to what he done.
Right.
What he done, he said on the cross, it's finished.
Yeah.
It's a finished work.
Mm-hmm.
Take it, and you'll be saved.
That's right. Amen.
And if you don't take it, maybe you reject it. The Bible said you fall on that rock, you'll live. If that rock falls on you, it said it'll grind you to powder.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What a love. He had. What a suffering, agonizing, shameful death he died.
That's right.
You know what he did it for, Brother Mitchell?
Yeah.
For the joy.
That's right.
That was set before him.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
He endured the shame.
Amen.
Just to be able to say to drum like anyway, you're that's forgiven,
right.
Son.
That's right.
You're amen. Forgiven. Go in peace. You know, that's what he died for. To be able to say, you're forgiven. You know, the devil don't want us forgiven. He wants us held hostage. He wants us to be bound. Jesus sets people free. And when Jesus sets someone free, they're free indeed.
Amen.
Amen.
I appreciate Sister Rita singing that song she sung. A lot of people get bound back up. I want you to know, buddy, Jesus can help you with bondage. If you'll let him, he'll set you free from it.
Yes,
Father, we thank you for this message today.
Jesus.
I do believe, Lord, this message helped someone today, including me.
Yes.
Lord, we just pray you'd never be very far from any one of us. Help us, Lord, to run to you for whatever need we have. Bless, I pray, Father, those who heard this message by way of internet. Thank you for those that were here, Lord, that heard it personally, Lord. We give you praise. Ask, Lord, your will to be done, even this invitation. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to ask everybody to stand, please. Brother Jerry, Sister Shane, if you would, please, sing us a verse of invitational hymn. If you got one that's got the blood in it, be all right with me. I'll just tell you right now, thank God for the blood. Amen.
Amen.
Don't be ashamed of the blood.
Amen.
It's the blood, the blood, the blood that sets you free.
That's right.
Number 122.
Power in the blood, I think.
Nothing but the blood.
Nothing but the blood, that's okay.
Nothing but the blood. Mm-hmm.
Amen. That's the only thing that'll do it. Man can't...
First verse.
They can't imitate it. They can't substitute it. It takes the blood of Jesus.
What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the blood that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Thank you so much. Brother Jerry, Sister Sharon, thank God for the blood.